Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength
and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you have ever moved? Has anybody ever had to move? Do you remember the chaos? The boxes, the packing, the unpacking, and the things you did to make your new house or apartment feel like home. I am Alan Warren, and today's message is, What is the Church? And I again want to thank you for taking the time out of your week to gather here to worship God, to nurture your relationship with God and with one another. So thank you. Today you will learn a little bit about exile and homecoming, and how this image of homecoming might be a good image to keep in mind when you try and answer the question, what is the church? Can I tell you a little bit of my story this morning? Thank you. Your hands are there. Thank you. Someone always says it, you know. Some images of homecoming I have are this. When I was off at university at Queen's, now, it's quite a ways away, so I wasn't able to get home that often. But when I did, I remember getting greeted with a huge hug from my mom that said, hey, welcome home. I also remembered she always managed to bake one of my favorite pies, cookies, or squares. You know, there was baked goods there waiting for me. So much so that my dad said, you have to start coming home more often. Now, part of that was because my dad's cholesterol problem, and mom was trying to keep that under control. Another image I have is camping with my parents down at Turkey Point when Alex had kind of just got that walking all under control and knew what he was doing. And it was really neat to see my dad play with Alex. And part of that was because I don't have any memories of my dad playing with me. So that was kind of cool to see that. And my parents just had a small cap on the back of a pickup truck. You couldn't stand up in it. But you know what? That little camper was just the right size for Alex. Because he would crawl in there and play on the bed. It was like his own treehouse. And he thought it was pretty cool. Then the last homecoming I'll share with you is coming home when my dad was in the hospital. And my dad said, you better take me to the hospital. And believe you me, when my dad said he needed to go to the hospital, you knew it was serious because he didn't say things like that. And I had desperately wished that, you know, maybe he would have gone to the doctor more often. You know, maybe he would have got into a heart specialist sooner. But he died in the hospital waiting for an angiogram, you know, so they could do something. Bypass surgery is so common. But again, you have to go, you know. So those are kind of three homecomings that I remember. And this morning I want you to think of a homecoming you remember and why. And please try and find someone different to talk to. Remember to introduce yourself because it's very important. It helps us to remember one another's names. And God calls us by name. And it's important we remember to call one another by name too. It validates you are a unique, beloved child of God. Homecoming. Think of a homecoming you remember and why. And share it with someone. Go. You're looking a tad sad. Oh, okay. Do you have any homecomings you remember, or? And where were you in residence? In Hamilton. Ah. Oh, that's so cool. To welcome you back home. And like graduated. Oh, that's cool. We got to remember those days. Please stop. Thank you, and please remember to continue that conversation because it's so important to affirm those homecoming in our lives. Now, today I want to talk about exile. It's an important theme, or at least begin by talking about it. It's an important theme in the church, and we don't talk about it very often. Can someone remind the rest of us, when someone's in exile, what does that mean? Thank you. You can't go home. It could be a forced exile, whatever, but you can't go back home again. In the Bible, there is often a second part to exile, though, being cut off from home. And the second part is returning back home. It's the homecoming. What is the second part? Homecoming. The joy, the celebration. In the Old Testament, the predominant theme of exile has to do with when the Babylonian army came and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple in 587, and almost all the inhabitants were carried off into exile. Now, picture where Jerusalem is on that map, and picture where modern-day Baghdad is. Maybe not a bad trip if you got to drive it. Imagine walking it on foot. Because in those days, forced exile, captors on horses, you were on foot, walking. They went weeping, not imagining for a moment they would ever be able to return home. Yet in exile, we find some of the most comforting words in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 40 onwards, written in exile, begins with, "Comfort, O comfort my people." For you music enthusiasts, who use those words to open a very famous musical composition? Thank you. Handel's Messiah, which we often hear this time of year. Comfort, O comfort my people. It's in exile that we often get closer or wrestle more with God and our understanding of God. Now, when you are in a strange land surrounded by strange gods and customs, what would you need to remember who you are? Any idea things you might need to remember who you are in exile?
Family rituals.
Thank you. Family rituals. Absolutely.
Stories.
Family stories. Absolutely. And you would continue to tell those stories. In exile is where the present form of the Old Testament took shape. Those first five books of the Bible, a priestly writer wove together the sacred stories from the southern and northern kingdom of Israel to form those first five books of the Bible. Exodus, Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers. Thank you. Last one?
Deuteronomy.
Thank you. The Torah. So important to Jewish people. That's where it came together. To keep as a record. To remember who you are. Did you recognize that theme of exile and homecoming in the story of the lost sons today? Yeah. Where did the younger son go? Thank you. A country far away. What happened there? Wasted his money. What else? Thank you. There was a famine. Thank you. And he went broke. Had to get a job. Was starving. Then what did he decide to do? Go back home again. What does the father do? Welcomes him.
Celebrates.
Thank you. Huge hug. Have you ever really messed up in your life and your parents had to come and get you? You know? And the first thing you expected was what? Die. A lecture. You know? Basically not nice. Fear and trembling. And the first thing you received was a big hug. Relief that you were okay. Well, maybe not. I see somebody laughing. Okay. Relief that you were okay, that you were safe. The lecture would come later. Exile and homecoming. Thank you. And in many ways, the foundational story for us as Christians, the cross and the resurrection, can be seen in this light. The cross. My God, why have you abandoned me? Have you ever felt abandoned by God in the midst of personal crisis? Exile. Resurrection. Discovering God hadn't abandoned you in the darkness, but as that Footprints poem says, it was there that I carried you. I was beside you in the hospital room, the courtroom, the principal's office, holding your hand. The church, at its best, is an embodiment of homecoming. It's the grace. It's the big hug. Welcome home in the midst of tears. No words are necessary. Through the symbols, communion, fellowship, the music, the messages, the Bible, our service out in the community, All these things, small groups, you come to recognize and accept this love and grace of God in your life. And the wave of acceptance squashes this still small voice in your head that says, you're a nobody. You know, you've messed up again. Can't you do anything right? Anybody have that little voice in the back of their head besides me? You know? Thank you. That strong negative voice. Through the church and the story of the church, it needs to constantly be challenged by the words that Jesus hears at his baptism and ours. You are my own dear child. You are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Words we need to rehearse to ourselves over and over and over again. Paste them on your mirror. So when you get up in the morning, you are greeted by that affirmation of God's love and grace. The church, at its best, through its worship and service to others, is that acceptance. It is that voice, that grace, to help heal and transform you. Has anyone here ever experienced grace within a church community or a church family? Absolutely, thank you. It's kind of like an amazing curling shot or a golf stroke. It makes you want to come back for more of that grace. But there is a catch here. Have you ever noticed that in life there's always a... It's always a catch, thank you. Now, God's love will hold you and never let you go. It's only one problem, though. God's love will never let you stay the same either. Have you ever noticed that? God's love continually nudges you, pushes you to grow, to become more loving, compassionate, accountable, forgiving, seeking a fair and just community, standing up for others. God's love will never let you go, but will never let you remain the same either. So our understanding of church can't just be a place where I learn that I am totally loved and accepted by God, which is true. But we need to remember the second half of the story, that God constantly nudges you to help others understand they are totally loved and accepted by God as well. Nudges you to be the father, the mother that welcomes others back home. How many sons are there in this prodigal story? Thank you. Does the story end with the celebration of the younger's return? No. What does the father do when the older son won't join the party? Goes out to him, remember? Goes out and talks to him in the field. Do you notice how this story is left open-ended? You don't know if the older son remains lost in bitterness or is able to join in this feast of God's grace and God's love. Have you ever known anyone who's lost in bitterness or resentment or couldn't get past the fact, is life fair? No, life's not fair. Something disappointing and unfair, I can guarantee you, will happen to each and every one of us here. The purpose of the church, The community of faith, the cross, these stories we keep is to remind us of God's love and grace in the midst of the agony of dealing with the chaos in the world that will touch each and every one of us. But we're not left in the chaos. We're reminded of God's love and grace and invited into a community that does the same. Holds you and reminds you of God's love and grace when you need it the most. Would you like to know the two new things I learned about this story this week? Do you have any idea how many times I've talked about the lost son? More than once? Would you think it's been more than once? It's been more than once. And I learned two new things about that story this week. I just about fell over. Why did the father throw the party? Celebrate the son's return. Absolutely. Grace, forgiveness. Welcome home. Would you like to know a second reason the father threw the party? It's new to me. To help restore the relationship between the younger son and the neighbors. Say what? Do you think there was a buzz in the community when the younger son left? Guaranteed. Do you think there was an even greater buzz when that son returned? Absolutely. When that son left, he left ripples in the community. Do you think there was other sons who wanted to take off? They said, come on, Dad. Abe let Jacob go. You know, loosen up. That younger son broke tradition. The tradition was you stayed on the family farm. You stayed to run the family business. That's where you stay. How do we as a church help to ease people back into the community so they can know of God's love and grace and God's goodness? That's part of our task too. How do we help ease people back into community? That was the first thing I learned. The second thing I learned, this story in Luke, there's actually three stories. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Thank you very much. I read the first three verses of this chapter, which is often skipped over. And did you notice what was going on in those three verses? Were the scribes and Pharisees very happy with Jesus? No. They were grumbling, complaining. Why were they grumbling and complaining?
He welcomes outcasts and even eats with them.
Thank you. He welcomes outcasts and eats with them. Non-church folk. He actually goes out and talks with them. Maybe the elder son represents the scribes and the Pharisees and the invitation God has given them to also seek out and welcome the lost. The question is, will they do it? Now, do you think Jesus was in the synagogue when he was talking to the tax collectors and the outcasts? Thank you. That's right. No. Because they didn't feel welcome there. You know? He was out in the community, interacting with others. So the church needs to be a place that, one, reminds you you are unconditionally loved by God. It's a place that helps heal you from the bumps and bruises in the world. How does the church do that? How have you been healed through this community of faith?
Compassion,
thank you. Has anyone called you up and maybe said, how are you doing? You know? Has anybody maybe come to the hospital and visited you? Has anybody maybe prayed for you? Have you joined together in worship? Have you been lifted up by the singing? You know, the communion, the fellowship? Homecoming. Reminded of God's love and God's grace. Wow. That's what the church is. But then the second part of church is the challenge to go out and extend that love and grace to others. You do it through service, but you also need to do it through conversations. Whether it's at the water cooler or at the elevator, you know, in your condo. How's it going? I heard such and such happened in your life. Or maybe, wow, what did you do this weekend? You know, building relationships, partaking in what George Hunter calls a ministry of conversation. And when it's appropriate, be willing to mention God or church in that conversation. Have you ever noticed I asked you to talk to your neighbor in church? Have you noticed that? Do you know what I'm trying to get you to do? Thank you. Share. It's to help you build confidence in having a ministry of conversation with others. And also, hopefully, help you to be open to a nudge. A nudge from the Spirit that you might drop a hint occasionally about God, what's going on at the church this weekend. Or maybe an understanding of God when you see a disaster happen in the world. You ever heard someone say, I can't believe in God because why would God allow that to happen? We need to have an answer for that question for people. Now, do you know that this story about Peter and Cornelius is just about that in Acts? Peter was open to the nudging of the Spirit to break out of his comfort zone. Do you remember the words, God forbid, I have never eaten anything ritually unclean in my life. I'm a good Jew. I know what clean and unclean is. I know who I should talk to and who I shouldn't talk to. And by the way, all of you were on the off list. Me too. Okay? He broke out of his comfort zone. Do you know the story of Peter and Cornelius is the longest story in the book of Acts? Begins in chapter 10, verse 1. It's repeated in chapter 11 that we read this morning. Why did you tell your kids 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times something? Why did you tell them more than once? So they'd remember. So it would sink in. Absolutely. The writer of Acts is doing the same thing. This is important, folks. Pay attention. So the same challenge that faced the early church faces us today. Extending that welcome, that homecoming to everyone. And maybe there's another lesson here. One that we don't want to hear. That when you invite new people to the party, do you know what happens? There's always going to be grumbling. When you do something to make the church more welcoming for newcomers, newcomers come in, there's always going to be some of the scribes and Pharisees, the elder brother, you know? It's just part of the mix. Welcome to the joy and the humanness of the church. Grace and reconciliation. That's what it's about. Thanks be to God. Amen.